So open up our Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful. Lord, we can't say that enough, how we are so thankful. Heavenly Father, there are many things that we can thank you for as this time of our holiday came by, Thanksgiving, and we try to recognize that in a greater way. But Lord, we're so thankful to be children of God, to be able to have the Spirit of the Lord upon us and the Word of God upon us, and Heavenly Father, to know the plan of salvation. And dear Lord, we have a hope within our soul, dear Lord, a hope that is, as the Word says, brighter than any perfect day. And Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, to just keep our faith up, dear Lord, keep encouraged, Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, the best ahead is for the saints, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we want to be faithful until the very end, as we spoke of this morning. So Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us, keep us encouraged. Heavenly Father, we're living in a wicked, wicked world. And dear Lord, my mind often thinks about you. You see everything that goes on. And Heavenly Father, we just see a very, very small portion of the wickedness of the world. And Lord, you know the intents of the heart, as you said in Genesis, dear Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, what allows you to stay on your throne is mercy. Heavenly Father, you have mercy upon us, dear Lord, to stay there without drawing this to a close. So Lord, we ask you to be with us. Help us to be a more thankful people, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, the world out there has no respect for the things of God, for your word, for your church, for your people. But dear Lord, help us to be a greater people, to be thankful to what you do for us, dear Lord, and we'll appreciate that. Dear Lord, go with us through tonight. Heavenly Father, you see the thoughts that we have. We ask you to anoint the word. Anoint me that I'll bring it to you to have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, picking up in verse 1, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with all longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descend first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We'll stop right there. I want to take our thoughts out of verse 11 and 12 here this evening. And he's speaking about Christ here, that he gave these gifts. In verse 11, he says he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And the purpose that he gave these gifts for were for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it says here in that verse, the very beginning, he gave some. He didn't give everybody the same gift. He didn't give everybody a gift. He gave some for the benefit, and I always mention that a lot of times. I feel it's something that's important for whatever position or job or work we do for the Lord. It's for a purpose here. For the latter part of verse 12, it says, for the edifying, for the build-up, for the encouragement, for the blessing of his saints, for the body of Christ. God is the only one that can give these gifts. I can't give them. You can't get them in a sense. You can't, it isn't like you go out and buy something or earn it and things. God gives. I appreciate what Brother David did, a good testimony for the message tonight. He said last year he had a desire, and that we'll get into it a little bit later in the message here. We have to have a desire to be a blessing, to be a help, to be a worker in the kingdom, to be something that God can use. And he had a desire. He had a desire last, he said, last Thanksgiving. And I thought it was good. It didn't take him. He didn't start it last Thanksgiving. And by the end of December, he was where he wanted to achieve. It took him some time. And that's the way with any gift. Many times, it takes some God. It takes some time. God gives a gift. He makes room for it. He allows it to show himself. He allows it to work. He allows it to be a benefit. And in time, other ones recognize it. And it just makes a place for it. And I appreciate it, Brother David. And another, to go on, when I was thinking of him testifying, that was a good attitude there. Him desiring a gift. Him desiring to be a blessing to the saints and then to himself also. It's a blessing to himself, but it was his desire to do that, and that is a summit of the part of the message also here for this evening. But God's the one that can help us. God's the one that can encourage us to do this. He gave it there, as I've said, for the perfecting of the saints, to help fully equip the saints in the walk of this kingdom. You know, I think about sometimes, there's always, as you mentioned, we're going to talk about maybe a couple different ones, and we'll mention it a few times. The different gifts that he gives. And this is just a small list that he gives here of gifts. But I was thinking of some other gifts that sometimes that we may not even recognize or may not think about. But I think about young Christians, whether they're young people or they're older people, that get saved and get to be a part of the kingdom. I think about young Christians when they first get saved. They're a blessing to the older saints, to the ones that have been seasoned and living for God, when we see a growth there. When we see them get saved, come to an altar, repent from sin, and we see a growth, a continual growth. It's a blessing. You say, where they're not doing anything, they're not playing a piano, not preaching, not teaching. Let me tell you what, it's a blessing to see someone grow in the Christian faith as a newborn babe and come up through there. We know the Word of God teaches us that as newborn babies and as newborn children, they desire the sincere milk of the Word. But you know, from time to time, they start desiring some more things. They start desiring some meat. They start desiring to go a little deeper. And that's a blessing. Sometimes we may not think that. We may not recognize that. But it's a blessing to us. There's many jobs in the church, whether they can be small or whether they can be large. And the point is, for this evening, are we filling our place with what God has for us? Are we having a desire to want to be a help? Are we having a desire to want to be faithful in our place that God has for us? No, I don't think I have it in my message, but I might have it later. But there's a verse in the Bible. It says, God puts those in the body as it pleases him. And every single soul that gets saved, God saves them, places them in the body, and we need to recognize it. Lord, you placed me here. Help me to be a blessing in my place. Sister Ann's made that quote many a time. Bloom where you're planted. It's a good thought. Well, I wish I was in Florida. I wish I was in California. I wish I was here. I wish I was in another congregation. I wish I was in another family. She just testified about her family. And how blessed they get along together and all. But Bloom, be a blessing wherever you are. Under whatever concern, under whatever conditions you are. We look at Joseph when he was down in jail. Joseph was at one time, he was in the master's house. I think second in command or first in command. Next thing you know, he's in jail. And before long, you know, he became the ruler or the overseer of the guards, of the prisoners there. So God blessed him even in the prison house there, even when he was there. He was being a worker for God's work, even wherever he was. So being blessed where we are, being encouragement. Say, well, I don't like the position I am. You know, we can recognize that on a job sometimes. How many of us maybe have seen people, they come to work and they get disgruntled. Well, then they create problems.
Well, then they do things or whatever, and it's just not a very pleasant place to be around them and things like that. But if they work, say, you know what? I don't like my job. I don't like where I'm going to be. By the hell, I'm going to go ahead and get another job somewhere. But at least be a benefit while you're there. You don't ever want to leave a job in a disgruntled place and with a bad attitude. That's just the world's attitude. You want to be able to leave there, and the owners or the manager and all at least have a good report to say about you. Oh, they were never here. They were always complaining. They were leaving early. They just didn't do the job. They were having problems. You don't want that. But you want it even all the way up until the end to be faithful. Well, the same thing is with God, even greater than that way. To be a blessing where God has it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or verse 1, and we're going to look at a lot of verses in this chapter. We're just not going to read the whole thing here. But he says here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So let's jump down here to verse 4. And he says, verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." That's important. That you have the right Spirit. There are diversities. There are varieties of gifts. That diversity means variety. There are many different gifts, but of the same Spirit, of the same workings, of the same headquarters, so to speak, of the same one that we're getting the directions from, the head from, and things, which is Jesus Christ. There are gifts that only Christ can give, but of that same Spirit. Working together, we'll get into here just a little bit later. Drop down to verse 12. We'll talk about here. "Whereas the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." That's not difficult to understand. I talked about truth this morning. It's amazing that the parallel to God runs from this to our physical bodies. And what we're going to go down a little bit later here in the chapter here. But my body, my entire body, works together for the benefit of the whole. You know? If this, you know, we're singing a song, you know. We're singing a song and whatever. So, you know, I got a song here we're going to look at here in a little bit. But we're singing a song, and I like the song, and my head says, "Hey, arm, raise your hand to recognize it." And arm says, "Oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay here." It's not benefiting the body. If I want to go that way and the leg says, "Nope, I'm not going that way. I'm staying here," it's not benefit the body. You know, I could have an itch right here. Nothing else in the body can do it except for that finger. But if this finger says, "Nope, I'm not going to touch it." But it never does that as long as the entire body is connected here. If there comes something different in the mind and the brain and the brain of that, and something gets disconnected here, then there's a problem with the body. But as long as something's right here, you know what? This entire body works together for the benefit of the whole.
Absolutely. That's true.
I mentioned to you a little bit ago, I wasn't going to say anything, but I mentioned to you. So I thank God for protection over the years of hunting. And a lot of things you're out there. I'm out there. I keep a cell phone with me. Thank the Lord for those things. But well, yesterday I was in the woods and I went a little bit of a hill. And I'm real, real comfortable with walking through the woods, understanding how the woods works and things. And I went to step over a log. And because it was real tight in there, I went to step over a log. And when I did, I lost balance a little bit, and I grabbed this one little branch, and it broke. And down, and I'm like, you know that part. You know you're going to the ground. There's no doubt you're going to the ground. But figure out how you're getting there within them seconds. And you know, I had a gun in my hand. You know, make sure the gun's sound, and just land. And I landed safe, and everything was fine, and everything was good. But you know, everything in the body, even the mind, even that split second from here to the ground, it took a couple seconds for you to think and react, and the whole body worked together so I didn't get hurt. The whole body. He says there, "For as the body is one." Jesus Christ, we read to you back here in Ephesians, he has one body, one church, one faith, one spirit, one God, one. None of us can be an island to ourselves at all. So I want to work over here by myself and do my thing. Well, if God called you to do that, then he'll support the work. He'll help the work to grow. But I believe that you'll still desire to work with the main body. But sometimes people want to be an island to their own. The body is one and hath many members, as we can look at our own physical body. And he goes on down through there and says a few things. Not everyone can be the head. There's only one head, and that's Jesus Christ. Not everybody can be a foot or an eye or a hand, but whatever God places us. You know, we're living in a, be kind, one of the messed up times, I think, in society that there is.
That's true.
When people can say, you know what? I want to identify as a dog. I don't know if it's true. I've heard it on more than a couple occasions that people want to identify as a cat. And for that, the school or the teacher has to have a litter box in the corner of the room. I'm telling you, if their mind hasn't been disconnected, it never will be. We are in a messed up time. But the body works for the benefit of the body. If we're going to be in a part of the kingdom of God, we are going to have to work for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ, the church of God. The song we was looking at here in verse 4:11, he says, "The church of God, thou spotless virgin, church of Christ for whom he died, thou hast known no human founder, Jesus bought thee for his bride." Verse 2 says, "God himself has set the members." I'm thankful for that.
Yes, amen.
You know, we can look at our own governments and politics and organizations. There's members changing almost every week, every month, here, there, and ever. God's the one that places the members in. God himself has set the members in his body all complete, organized by Jesus only. Oh, the union, pure and sweet. Verse 23 of this verse here says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncommonly parts have more abundant commonliness." What part of your body are you willing to cut loose of? If someone come up and said, "I'm going to take a part of your body off," what do you want to choose? I don't care what it is. There's not one thing that we would want our body to be separated from. Now, if something happens to our body, I've had appendix out, I've had a gallbladder out, when I was a kid, I had my tonsils out. You know, those things were causing a problem to the body, and they needed to be removed. And when there's a problem in the body of Christ, Christ is the one that removes them. We know that from the story of the vineyard. When the man came in, the Lord of the vineyard came in, he goes, "There's a tree here that's not producing anything." He goes, "I want you to cut it down." Well, the keeper of the vineyard, he says, "Give me some time. Let me dig around it. Let me work with it. Let me fertilize it. Let me water it. Let me take care of it. Give me a year. If it doesn't produce fruit within that time," he says, "You're the one to cut it down. I'm not going to lay my hands on something to cut something down." That's God's purpose, to remove or to replace a member of the body. There is not one soul in the body of Christ that is not needed.
That's true.
We're all needed. Lynn, for some reason, whatever, she don't even know why, but her two of her fingernails, and she don't do finger stuff, nails, polish, any of that stuff, have split right down through the middle. And I think Kim the other day gave her something, maybe gave her a fake nail to put over it and to help it to heal. Well, that came right off, and a piece of a nail came off. And, well, your fingernails. You take something in there, that little hangnail, and you get that too short. Let me tell you what, the whole body hurts. That hand hurts. He said, well, that's not a really a needful thing. Well, let me tell you what, we're cautious at how we take care of our body. Every part of our physical body is needful and important, and we're cautious. He says the same thing with the spiritual body. Every part is needed, regardless of whether you're the pastor or you're the doorkeeper. David said one time, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell and to be a member and to be popular and be known in the tents of the wicked. Let me be someone to hold the door and greet someone. Let me be that greeter at Walmart, so to speak. Let me say hello and maybe tell people to pay. Let me be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be able to dwell in the tents of the wicked. We need to ask God to help us to find our place and do our very best to edify for the saints. And that's why God gives us a place. God doesn't give us a gift in the body for our benefit. God doesn't give us a gift in the body to edify ourselves, to lift ourselves up, to be recognition through the church or through the churches or whatever. But he gives it for a blessing, for an encouragement to the saints. I don't know if I told you this story one time, and this is no credit to myself in a sense, but I went to Hagerstown one time many years ago and had my guitar. It was for a revival. I'm not holding a revival. I'm just going there for the service. And I walked in, and you know how Brother Greg is sometimes. He always liked to do some things different. And I walked in. I'm looking forward to just going in, singing my song, and sitting down and enjoying the message. He says, how about you chairing for us tonight? I'm thinking, I didn't want to chair. But the thought came to my mind, what I tell you all sometimes, we enjoy it when the saints come. We enjoy it when people come from out of town or whatever, and they come up here and they sing a special or they do something. Well, we need to be the same way. We go somewhere, we need to do our best to be a blessing. Let me be a blessing. And that thought came to my mind as I thought about it, said, I'll do that. You know, so I chaired. And so as I got, that was the song service, and I started to chair. And I told him, I said, I guess most of you are surprised to see me up here, probably as much as I am surprised to see you up here. And I told him that. And I said, when Brother Greg asked me that, I thought to myself, you know, you always say, go and be a blessing if you can. And so that's why I said I would do the chairman. Somebody came to me afterwards and they said, you know, we appreciate what you said. Because every time Brother Greg has done that to the home congregation, and they would get up and chair, they would say, well, I was asked to chair, that's why I'm up here. I didn't really want to. But to be a blessing. God allows us to be in the services to be a blessing to someone. Doesn't mean you have to chair. You know how much it's a blessing sometimes to say, I'm praying for you? Be encouraged. I've had people tell me over the years, be encouraged. Sometimes you're going through a battle. Be encouraged. Are we where God wants us? Are we pleasing God as it pleased him he places in the church? Are we pleasing him? Or are we trying to make something fit? Remember that little toy when you were a child or when your children were children? You had three little things there, a square, triangle, and a circle. What did they do? They always took that one and they tried to put it where it didn't fit. It just didn't fit. But once you get it in there, it goes in just so smooth. I mean, if you have a USB port plug, and you put it in there, and it doesn't fit. What do? Turn it over. It goes in. You know, it doesn't fit. Sometimes we try to make things fit. Or sometimes we be like Jonah and run from the place that God has. Verse 28 and 29, he says somewhat what we read back here in Ephesians. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after this miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. Are all apostles? There's a question mark there. The answer is no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But in verse 31 there, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Are we looking for what God has for me? I can tell you from someone from experience, you may not ask God to give you a gift that you're good at. I sat back here and I said, Lord, send some more singers. I wasn't a singer. God said, how about you? I can remember that just as clear that the why did I say that? But I was thankful. We had a pastor at the time. He had some family. They were very talented in music, and they helped me. You know, Billy Neal helped me to learn to play guitar a little bit. Took me some years going to camp meeting and learning and things. Like I say, I didn't start it today, and a year later I was good. It took some years. And I honestly, truly believe I was only saved maybe a year when God did that for me or whatever, and wasn't that long. By my second camp meeting, I was saved in May. I didn't go to the camp meeting the first year, but the second year in Manassas camp meeting, I was singing. So it was within that first year or so, and I didn't think I played a guitar. I might have played a guitar then, but or well enough to play it. But it took some time. But I honestly believe that God helped me back in that time because He knew that this is where I was going to be 30 years down the road. And I had to get comfortable, which I still am not comfortable singing. I'd rather preach than sing. I had to get comfortable being up front. God may make a gift for you. You say, Lord, that's not my really forte that I want to do. It doesn't matter. This is what I need you to do. That way I can keep you humble. Because you know it's not your job. And you know it's not your ability. You know you have flaws in it. And I can keep you humble this way. How many people have had abilities to sing and play? And they took it further than what they should have done out of the kingdom of God. Our gifts, of course, can change as we get older and things.
Sure.
Some gifts, as we looked at and talked about, that we seem to be not very important, they're very important. They may not be recognized all the time. A little test here, a little Bible trivia. I had to look it up, so I'm not going to ask you that you didn't know it if you don't know it. Couldn't remember myself. Who were the two men that held up Moses' arms? Remember the story?
Yeah.
When they were in the battle, Moses held his arms up, Israel won the battle. I think it was Philistines. When he couldn't, he got tired, he let it down, the enemy won. He held them up. Well, they recognized that, said he'd come up there, they put some stones under his arms. Well, you know, after that he got tired. So two men stayed his hands. You remember what their names were? Who was the first one?
Joshua.
Who? Who? Did you say Joshua?
Joshua.
Wasn't Joshua.
Kid
nope. Ur was one. Who said that? Brother Rick. And I didn't get that one. I can get either one of them. And Aaron. Aaron and Ur. So I did that for this purpose. So it wasn't really clear in our mind of who they were. We remembered the story. We remembered Moses, we remembered all the story, but we didn't remember those two men that were extremely important in the job that they had to do to help Israel to win the battle. We kind of forgot their names unless we'd have gone back and looked at it. The same thing, we may be important to God, and maybe someone will never remember what we did, but God will. God keeps track. I remember what you did. I remember maybe you helped someone. Maybe you testified someone. Maybe you talked to someone. That whatever small gift that we may seem to think, I'm not really important. God says, you're important to me if you do the work that I ask you to do. What gifts do we have? What gifts do we ask God to do? Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, picking up in verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishermen, fishers of men. Verse 18. And straightway, they forsook their nets and followed him. When God calls us to be Christians, he calls us from the world. In Galatians 5:1, it says,
Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon and Andrew, and he says, follow me.
Sister Jerry and I were talking, I was trying to think of who it was. We were talking about, I think the other, a couple weeks, we were talking about questions that we may ask God. And that's some of the stuff. We don't have any information there. We don't have whether he's walking by, follow me. They dropped their nets and they started following Christ.
Something had them encouraged to do that. They just dropped something. They believed in Christ. They had heard about him, just like we've heard other things. But this is the beginning of his ministry, so he probably didn't do a lot of things that we know of. But they just followed him.
I love to see some of the history and some of the details of things.
But Christ here in Galatians says to stand fast. Where Christ has made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There are many things that God would have us to leave. Some things we have to set aside. These two men left their fishing nets. We see later on that they went back to them. And Jesus sort of reprimanded them a little bit. He said, I called you from that. I give you a job. I called you from that. I give you something. I need you to make be a fisherman. And as you know, there at the end, there towards the end, Peter, he had to tell him some things. He called Simon and Andrew there to forsake their nets. Luke, he was a physician. Matthew, he was a tax collector. He called them. I need you. When they recognized the blessing that they were going to receive being called to work in the kingdom of Christ more than the things of this world. Whether it be small or great, there was 12 disciples. Of course, we know that Judas had betrayed Christ, and there was some other ones. Peter, James, and John were the three main ones. But there were some of them down there we don't have much detail about. But Christ called them. Christ had them, hey, follow me, take them up and follow me. They've seen things that many people never see. You and I will never see. They've seen some things that were blessed. But God still called them. And he filled their place. To be a child of God, sometimes we have to forsake some things. The rich young ruler, he couldn't. He wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God. He wanted to be able to make heaven his home. And Jesus said, I need you to forsake something. And he went away sorrowful. Jesus told him one time, he says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and it die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
If we want to be a blessing, if we want to be an encouragement, if we want to be one of the gifts, Lord, I desire a gift. I desire to be a worker in the kingdom, whether it be small or great, whatever grace you would have me to do. Lord, I desire. And God says, there's going to be one thing. You're going to have to die out to self. You're going to have to die out to the world, die out to the family. We talked a little bit about this morning. We have to set family in second place of our lives. Not that we don't love them, not that we don't care for them, but Christ needs to be first in our lives. Jesus says to us, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal.
I've pondered that a lot of times. I don't really know what those treasures are. Because those treasures in earth or in heaven have nothing to do with the treasures here on earth.
What treasures would you have here on earth? Usually it's material things. Have a nice home, have a nice job, have a nice car. Maybe have nice clothes, have good food to eat. Those things are blessings that we need and that we recognize. Maybe some money in the bank and some different things like that. There's a material thing. But what are those things in heaven? What are those treasures? Being faithful as God calls us every time. Being faithful. When God calls us and uses, and as I said, I've preached different times. I said, you know, there are some people in the Bible that God uses them one time. That's all we have. We have one time. Is it Enoch? Was it Enoch? The Bible says there in the Hebrew and in Hebrews 11 there, Enoch, he says he walked with God. And he was not. I studied that out one time. There, he is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible there. I'm going to get it real quick because I don't remember exactly the words there. But in Hebrews 11, verse 8 there, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated. Before his translation, this is the part that I wanted, but before his translation, he had this testimony. What was the testimony? He pleased God. And we have zero record of what he did. But he pleased God. And for whatever reason, God said, you know what? I just am pleased. You're not going to see death. You just come on home. He was translating. He took him home. And Enoch was not. His body was here one day. I heard a minister preach one time. And he said, here, poor Enoch was translated. And Sister Enoch, or his wife Enoch, went looking for him. And he's not there. He's gone. Maybe he's out in the fields working. And he's gone. He's not here anymore. What happened to him? God took him home. Because he had a testimony, he pleased God. Now, Lord, help us. Help me, Lord. Help me to be pleasing to you. In whatever form we have. And whatever you ask me to do. Whether it be small, sometimes we may do things. And saints, I believe sometimes God may call us to do things out there in the world that no one will recognize except for God, us, and the individual that we did. Maybe you gave somebody some money because they were in need of something. Maybe you bought them something or you did something, good favor for somebody because you felt the passion of God helping you to do that. God marks it down. God recognizes it. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, picking up in verse 31. And in the meanwhile, while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore the disciples said one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. God, what gift do I need? I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I didn't bring this out to that person, but I was thinking about it. You know, it's a shame that the churches are divided like they are. And they're worried about things that aren't in the Bible. They're worried about nonsense things. Things that really probably doesn't make a difference one way or another. I did say this to the individual. I said, you know, one of the problems, God called me to be pastor here. He didn't call me to meddle in Hagerstown or Craigsville or Escondido or Florida. He didn't tell me to get on the phone and call out there and see what's going out there and make sure they're preaching right and they're teaching right. That wasn't what God called me to do. And he didn't call them to do the same. He called them to be a pastor where they are and to preach the gospel and to stay humble and to help to edify the church in his local congregation or her local congregation. That's what God called us to be. I thought, Lord, one of the things we should do is getting together is say, you know, brother, one of the problems that the churches has today, we need a greater burden for souls. Not to worry about the beard of a man and not to worry about the ridiculous things that people are talking about, but a need for souls. Here, this situation where Jesus said to them, they came, Master, you need to eat. They recognized that he hadn't eaten in a period of time. We don't know how much. But he said, Master, you need to eat. He goes, I have meat that you don't know of. A burden, a care, concern. And he says there, my meat, my desire, my longing, my want is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he says on verse 35, say ye not, there are yet 4 months. We got time. It's a ways out there. Say not, there are yet 4 months. Then cometh the harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes
and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
You might have read it, might be reading it later. But it says, one of the verses that we read, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts. You know, we may desire a gift. We may desire, Lord, I want to learn to play the piano. Yeah, I'd love to play. You know, I always thought about it, you know, before Brother Davis left, I started taking piano lessons. And I took them for a year. And I was doing pretty good with it and learning it well. And then, of course, when Brother Davis resigned and fell my lot to do some preaching, that was a huge on-take for me. And I knew the time to do this wasn't going to be there. I often think about, I wonder how I would be today after almost 25 years or better. I would love to play a piano. If I ever get the chance, fine. If not, oh well. Lord, what do you have me to do? Lord, give me a burden for souls. What gift do you have a desire for? Lord, there's souls out there. Give me a burden for souls. Give me a burden for my family, your family, the neighbors, the neighborhood, of souls. Lord, give me a burden. Jesus said here, he goes, I didn't eat meat. I'm so concerned with some things to do the work of the Father. You don't say there's a time coming for harvest. And Jesus said it back that time, it's already here. No doubt Jesus carried a great burden. That's why Paul says, Lord, give us the gifts to edify, to help. Don't think it's a latter time, as he says, but now's the time for souls. Lord, help us. Isaiah says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? I didn't write the chapter in Ball Book down. I think it's back in 6 or maybe, I don't remember where it is, back in Isaiah. I have to go back and look at it and write it down. But you know the story is Isaiah seen the throne of God and God spoke and he says, who shall I send? I think, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. I don't know who really actually, I know Aunt Sissy probably prayed for us and things, but I don't know who actually really prayed and all, but I thank God somebody prayed that I would get saved. God dealt with my soul, thank the Lord. And from that time when I did get saved, I've had other people encourage me and bless me and help me to stay on the path. What a blessing. But who's out there? I think about it often, Lord. Help us to have a burden that we may pray for someone. Sister Ann has said this before too. She says, you know, as her family is in different parts of the country and things like that. And she says, Lord, I think it was Sister Ann. She said, Lord, allow someone to maybe talk to them. But Lord, also allow me to talk to someone else's daughter or son that they live in California. There may be somebody in California praying for their son or their daughter. And God may send us by their path. Paul says, I deliver the word, I plant the seed, and Apollos water. One person might plant, one person might water. And we have no idea. There's a song that they sing a gospel, I don't want to say gospel song, it's a worldly gospel song, I guess you would say. It's a good song. But it says, when we get to heaven and someone comes up to me and thanks me that they made heaven because of maybe my prayer, maybe my invitation, I don't even know the person hardly. I think what a blessing that would be. God says to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And God said, go tell the people. My last verse of scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Amen. God has sent the spiritual gifts. Can you say, Lord, do you have one for me? You know, sometimes, as I said, I can't emphasize sometimes what we may think the smaller gifts are. Bert said something to me a week or so ago. It's a blessing and encouragement when I hear you say amen. when I hear you say praise the Lord, when I hear you agree with the messages, it's a blessing. It's an, I you know, it's a lot of, all of you have probably listened to tapes, older tapes, and maybe when Brother Barber was here, or early times of Brother Davis, when the congregation was much fuller, I tell you, you can hear him praising God and amen. Brother Hawk was one. You can hear Brother Hawk on them tapes. I can still see him sitting there, and sometimes he'd just stand up and he'd flip that hand, praise the Lord, and sit right back down. Quick, he'd do it. You can hear him do that on the tape just about. You can see it. It's encouragement. Lord, what do you have me to do to be a blessing, to be encouraged? See, the devil is constantly battling us. Constantly, oh, you're putting yourself forward. You're putting yourself out front. Well, let me tell you what, we can sit in the back and we can be, oh, I don't want to be out front. And we can be a hindrance. So Lord, help me to find that place. He says there, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Can you say, Lord, do you have one for me? You know, I added this thought here just this evening, sitting back here going over the message. I thought of the woman that came to Jesus. I believe she was a Samaritan woman. Asking for healing for her daughter that was possessed. And in roundabout words, Jesus said to her, woman, you're not worthy to receive bread that belongs to the children. What an encouragement to us. Where she recognizes, you know what? You're right, I'm not worthy. And you know what? Not a one of us in here are worthy of any gift that God has to give to us. Paul said one time, he goes, I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But God made him an apostle. We're not worthy of any gift that God has for us. The woman was at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he said, woman, you're not worthy to be able to receive the children's bread. You're nothing but a dog. But see, he knew her faith. And she said, true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She humbled herself, and God credited her with whatever she needed and healed her daughter just like that. Because of her, because of verse 1 here, as we read, that she walked worthy, she was humble of the vocation wherewith you are called. God has a lot of gifts. If we're honored for God to give us one of those gifts, to be a blessing, it may be for our whole lives, it may be for a portion, it may be just for a day, but if we're honored to do that faithfully, what a great credit we'll have in heaven. May the Lord bless you.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 102. Page 182. 182.
Wherefore the night is coming, wherethrough the morning hour, where the dew has parted, where man for strength and flower, where in the day grew brighter, where in the morning star, wherefore the night is coming, when man's work is done. Wherefore the night is coming, wherefore the sun and moon, your brightest of our labor, red coming sure has moved. The heavy fly in morning, something to keep in store. Wherefore the night is coming, when man worketh no more. for the light is coming under the sunset sky, while there brightens a glory before daylight fly. Yet here the loving faith is, faintness is shine no more. Why the night is darkening when man's work is low.
Help us to do, Lord, what we can. All of us in here, we've got